Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers. This is a book that talks about rejoicing. Philippi was a special group of believers to the Apostle. There was a time when he had great needs, and this church is the only church that responded. But they did, and they responded well. And he was very grateful, and God used his relationship with this church to write a letter about rejoicing. And this letter begins about rejoicing in the Lord. And I was praying about what the Lord had me speak on Memorial Day. We are thankful for the sacrifice of those who gave their life. But more importantly, we're grateful and thankful even more so to the one who gave the sacrifice for sin. And trying to tie the two together, and as I was reading and studying, the Lord gave me this passage. And I hope that you will see and learn something that will bless your heart and get you through this week. This being Memorial Day weekend, it's a time to remember and to honor those who gave their life and service for the United States of America in order that we can enjoy the freedoms that we still have. In like manner, this Memorial Day weekend is a great opportunity to remember and honor the one who gave us eternal freedom from the penalty, the power, and one day the presence of sin. What freedom we will enjoy in heaven. That will be a great time when we have sin no longer around, Satan no longer around, and everything's just going to be wonderful and rejoicing and perfect. And we as believers need to think often on that. We need to stay eternally focused in the way we live our lives. Because one day we're going to go home to be with the Lord if we know him as Savior. And that's going to be a great, great day. I want to begin reading in verse 1, and I'll read through verse number 14. Philippians chapter number 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concession. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I want to stop there just for a moment and just quickly make note of what Paul just said. He said, I take no confidence in the flesh, in verse number 3. However, I would be the guy that would have all reason and authority to take confidence in the flesh. Because, and then he lists for us these important things that were important to Jews. And for one to know where he is from, his tribe, his background, to have been circumcised, I mean, to have kept the law, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, you talk about a guy that was sold out to my Hebrew faith and my Hebrew nation. It was me. And you looked at the law, and you tried to find fault in me and having broken the law. You're not going to find it, he says. I was blameless. But then he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me? What I put my confidence and trust in, what I hoped in, the things that I believed were right and were going to get me to God in the end, all those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you consider the fact that you know Jesus and knowing him is an excellent thing? That there's no better knowledge to have than knowing Jesus? My goodness. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And then he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I was a phenomenal Old Testament law, Jew. And that was what was important to me. I was sold out to my Jewish religion. But then I met Jesus. And he came into my life. And he changed me. And he gave me a knowledge that is excellent. And because of my going from being a sold out Jewish man, a Pharisee, I have lost everything. All earthly things, possessions, influence, power, friends, I've lost it all because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, talk about a testimony this guy has. I was number one guy in religion, but now I've lost it and they don't even acknowledge me anymore. People I knew, friends I had, they're gone. But it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter because I willingly gave it all up and allowed it to be taken from me that I might know the excellency of having a relationship with Christ. Matter of fact, those things in the past, they're just refuge to me. They're waste because I have won Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. But this one thing I do. When you read something like that, this one thing I do, and it's being spoken by somebody of influence in Scripture like Paul, it's good to take good note of it. Write it down, even learn the verses. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. That's history. That's past failures. That's past successes. Forgetting those things which are behind. Why? Because you can't change your history. It is your history. And you have to live with it. Whether it was good, whether it was bad, whether you succeeded or you failed. But he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I don't dwell on my past failures or successes. What I'm looking at is where I am now and what's coming. And as I prepare for what's coming, forgetting those things which are behind and looking to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward. I make that my priority. That's the direction I want to go. But tying this together with Memorial Day weekend, the first thing we see is we rejoice because others were willing to make the supreme sacrifice. We rejoice. First of all, we rejoice on this Memorial Day weekend that the sacrifices of our military were not in vain, and we still have our freedoms. Secondly, we rejoice in Christ as Christians because our freedom from sin comes from His finished work. We're reminded of the sacrifices of American soldiers, and we're reminded that Christ is not a bothersome cause or sense of security, but we have our security in Christ. We thank God for the willingness of military to serve the country. And even if it means laying down their life, we thank God for that. But as you and I are seeing every day, our freedoms slowly are being removed from us. And where this is going to end, only God knows. But one freedom we have that will never change, will never go away, is the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And that freedom is security and safety. It's in Christ. And we rejoice in that. And we rejoice in the fact that it's never going to go away. No matter what happens in our country, no matter what happens to us, our freedom in Christ is never, ever going to go away. Secondly, in verse 2 to 8, the result brought about due to the sacrifice of our American soldiers and also Christ is amazing. First of all, we should be thankful for the accomplishments America has known because men and women were willing to lay down their life for the United States of America while serving in the military. If they had not done that, there are many advancements in the world that would never have happened. If America had lost its freedom, its power, its influence, its knowledge, its resources, much of the world would suffer because of the lack of the advancements that we know. And so we're blessed in that way. But secondly, the accomplishments are meaningless without security and safety. They're meaningless. In verse 2 to 6, Paul talks about the dogs, the evil workers, the concession. These were Jewish people, some say they might have been believers, some don't think they were, who were trying to undermine the Christian faith. And they were influencing this body of believers. And Paul wrote and says, listen, you need to be aware of that. You need to be careful of those people. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the concession. For we are the circumcision. We are the Christians who worship God in the Spirit, and we rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, these dogs, these evil workers, the concession, were people who put their emphasis on what the law required. Oh, you can have faith in Christ, but this is what you have to do in addition because the law says so. Paul says, no, that's not true. So Saul's accomplishments without Christ as his Savior, he lists here. But he found that there was no safety, there was no security in his earthly accomplishments, the things that Saul had done, his history of accomplishments. Well, look at me, look what I've done, look who I am. All that happened before God saved him. He was a hater of Christ and a hater of Christianity. And he was on the road to Damascus to have Christians with the authority of the religious leaders. He had the authority to go there and have Christians arrested and persecuted. And he wasn't satisfied till they were killed. But Jesus met him on the road in a great and mighty way, in a very important way that got Paul's attention or Saul's attention. I mean, you know, some people of great influence have to have a great awakening. And that's what Saul had. He had a great encounter with Jesus that put him on the ground in a prostrate position where he was humbled. And he had no choice but to look up. And that's where he met the Lord, and God changed him. That may be what it'll take in America. But if it's what it takes, then so be it. If people get saved out of it, so be it. We know where we're going. We know our Father will take care of us. We have nothing to worry about, to fear. We just rest in Him. We want to see people get saved. Sometimes it takes great sacrifice. But here we see that there is no security, there is no peace without something stable. And so Saul says, this is my accomplishments, but I didn't have Christ, so I had no security, I had no safety, I had no peace. Then in verse 7 and 8, we see, first of all, Saul's accomplishments without Christ, and verse 7 and 8, the same guy, Paul's accomplishments with Christ as his Savior. But what things were gained to me, I count loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. The result. We rejoice because there were people willing to give their lives for America. We rejoice because our Savior was willing to give His life for us. And the accomplishments of both are astronomical. And the impact is astronomical. But most of all, because of Jesus. Third, our freedom was purchased by those who were willing to sacrifice their own life. Verse number 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is in by faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Our freedom was purchased by those who are willing to sacrifice their life. First of all, America is free today because of the men and women who served in the military and gave their life as a sacrifice so that freedom could remain. As Christians, we are free because Jesus Christ gave himself that we might have eternal life. We see this because in verse 9, we were unable to provide our own deliverance from sin and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. But we find that by faith, we receive the benefit of Christ's supreme sacrifice for sins and for sinners. He says in verse 9, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by faith. In verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. The word win means to gain by reason of choice. So by faith, we receive the benefit of Christ's supreme sacrifice for sins. That I may win Christ. I made a choice on the road to Damascus and I said, Lord, what will you have me to do? It was a submission, recognizing his need, recognizing that he was fighting against one whom he did not know, but now was meeting, and realizing the power and the majesty and the superiority of Jesus Christ. He says, man, I see I have a choice here to make, and I make it for Jesus, that I may win Christ. And then in verse 9, and be found in Christ. The word found means to locate after a search is made. How many people in the world today are trying to find peace and security in the things the world has to offer? Believing that if I can just attain this goal, if I can just reach this certain salary level or pay level, if I can just put enough money back to be able to retire comfortably and be able to travel and see the world and enjoy my family, if I can just do these things that the world offers me, I'll have peace and I'll have security. And they get there and it's not there. How many people in the last major stock market crash that America saw took their own life because when the stock market crashed, they lost their security and their peace. Their hope was in the wrong place and the wrong thing. And because of the purchase of our freedom through Jesus Christ, you and I are privileged, no matter what may be going in our life right now, no matter where our world may be, this dear pastor that I asked you to pray for this morning, I'm sure he's very concerned about the situation, and I'm sure his family is as well. And I pray that be God's will, he could be healed. But I'm sure inside there's this settled peace in his heart that it's well with his soul. And he is secure no matter what God may see to do with his earthly tabernacle. Our freedom was purchased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we chose to receive him as our Savior because we found that he could give us what we were looking for that we couldn't find in anything or anybody else. We rejoice because others were willing to make the supreme sacrifice. The result of that great sacrifice has brought about amazing results. And our freedom was purchased by those who were willing to sacrifice their own life. And fourth, the beauty of learning about those who gave their life for our freedom. In verse 10 through 15, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, We have the opportunity and the privilege, because of America's advancements, to be able to go on the internet and pretty much look up anything we want to learn. Anybody we want to learn about, anything we want to know about. And so we are privileged to research and learn about the sacrifice of those in the military and appreciate more fully the fact that these were real people with real families, and thus we become more appreciative of our freedoms. It does us good to be able to go and read some of these stories, some of the amazing actions of men and women to save other people's lives, and in so doing, give of their own life. It's just unbelievable. And we're so blessed to have the freedoms that come at the supreme sacrifice of these people. They gave it all. And thank God that they were willing to do that, and how privileged we are because they did. And we should never, ever take the sacrifice of our military for the freedom of America lightly. Never. But however, as Christians, we're privileged to learn about the sacrifice of our Savior and thus appreciate and value that sacrifice. Paul says that I may know Him. The word know means to learn about and gain understanding. Paul says that I may know Him. What is that? The power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I may know Him. I may know Him. And so we want to know our Savior. We'll never stop learning about Jesus. And the more we learn, the more we want to learn. The more we learn, the more amazed we are at this wonderful, wonderful person, God the Son, called Jesus Christ. And as we learn and understand more about Christ's sacrifice for us, we can become more motivated to follow the example He left for us. Paul says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, if by any means I might go through the process that Jesus went through, so that when it comes to me being resurrected, I will have experienced all that Jesus had for me to offer. So we learn about Christ, we understand about Christ, we want to follow that example, we're motivated to follow that example. And then verse 12 to 15, as we follow His example, we realize there is a real purpose for our life. Listen, if you're here today as a Christian, and you feel like life has no purpose, your focus is on the wrong person. It's on the wrong person. Your focus is on yourself, and your focus should be on Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You should be learning more about Him. You should be asking Him what He wants you to do with your life. Lord, I don't have a whole lot to offer right now, but whatever it is you want me to do, I'm available. And you'll be amazed at what you're available to do for Christ. Doesn't matter about what restrictions you may have. Age, health, whatever it may be. Education, it doesn't matter. Money, it doesn't matter. Jesus has a purpose for your life. If He didn't, you wouldn't be here today. You'd be home with Him. But He has a purpose for you being here. And as you appreciate His sacrifice for you, and you're always reminding yourself of that sacrifice, the way we value it more is to appreciate it and think about it often. I have a couple of vehicles that one's over 200,000 and one's right on the verge of turning 200,000. I appreciate those cars so much more, and I don't mean to be ugly here. When I drive down the road and I see a car broke down on the side of the road, it may have some cloth or shirt or something to let the people know in authority that it's broke down. When I drive by those vehicles, I thank God for my car. And I thank God that it's still running. Because I'm reminded. I'm reminded of what it could be, but it's not. I want you to remind yourself of what you could be, but you're not, because of Jesus Christ. Remind yourself of where you could be today. I believe with all my heart, had Jesus not saved me, I'd be burning in hell today. I would have gone there a long time ago. I would have never had the privilege of meeting my wonderful wife. I would have never had the privilege of seeing God give us the wonderful family that we have, had it not been for Christ. And when I think about His sacrifice and what He's done, I want to be more like Him. I want to learn more about Him. I want to enjoy what He has for me. He has a purpose for us, and we want to fulfill that purpose. We want to follow His example and realize that the real purpose for our life, as we desire to fulfill that purpose with His help and for His glory. He has a purpose for you and for me. And that purpose is to live for Christ. And when we learn of Him, we mimic Him, we enjoy fellowship with Him, we see wonderful things happen. Our value system changes to eternal values instead of temporal values. We learn to live with disappointments and setbacks more easily because we realize we're living in a sin-cursed world and we're sinners in it. So we don't expect perfection anymore. We don't expect everybody to meet our standards. We make allowances and we value life more fully because of what Jesus has done for us. Paul says, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, verse 12, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you. So Paul says, listen, we're Christians here. We're perfect. You say, I'm not perfect. Yes, you are. In Christ Jesus, God sees you as perfect. And you need to think that way. You stop thinking about what a wretched sinner I am. We know we're sinners. Nobody has to convince us of that. We know that. We admit that. We acknowledge that. But it also makes us more dependent on God. But as God sees you today, He does not see you as a sinner. He sees you in Christ Jesus. When He looks at you, He sees Christ. And He sees you as perfect because you are in Christ. And if you can understand that, it'll help your relationship with your father. What joy brings to a child when they know after they've done something desperately wrong and their parent comes and says, listen, I know you messed up and I've had to punish you for it, but I want you to know I love you still. You're my child. My love for you has not changed. Man, what peace and comfort it brings to that child's heart to know that they're loved by that parent. Well, folks, I want to tell you, God loves you. You're loved today. I don't care how bad you messed up last week. You're loved today because of Jesus, because of what He did. And you want to learn more about Him. So as we follow His example, we realize the real purpose for our life, and we want to fulfill that purpose. We see, first of all, that we recognize the importance of living Christ-like. Secondly, we recognize our unsaved life cannot fulfill the need for joy, peace, and happiness. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, listen to me just for a moment, please. Life has nothing for you but misery and unhappiness. And you're probably unhappy right now because you're living without Christ. You're not finding joy in life and those around you because you don't know Christ. And until you surrender to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior, you're not going to know happiness. You're not going to know joy. You're going to become more disgusted with life and the people around you. The people that love you the most, you're going to dislike them the most. You're going to hurt them the most. It doesn't have to be that way. All you need to do is bow your proud knee to Jesus and acknowledge to him that you're a hell-bound sinner in need of a Savior. God, I've made a mess of my life. I'm a miserable, messed up person right now. I need you to take me where I am, save me, and change me. And he'll do it. Now, life won't suddenly become all beautiful and happy and everything. You'll still have to live with those people. You'll still have to live with yourself. But as you look at life through Jesus' eyes, it'll be a different world. So we have to recognize the importance of Christ-like living. We recognize our unsaved life cannot fulfill the need for joy, peace, and happiness. We reevaluate our direction and move forward in the power and example of Christ. And then we reminisce about the ultimate end when we enter into the presence of Christ. Paul says in verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you." In other words, God will take care of all the rough edges. But what you have to do first is be willing to let Jesus come into your heart. If you're here without Jesus today, and you die today, you're going to go to hell today. Someone was telling me that works in a hospital recently of a patient that was there and was in the stages of dementia and was having real health issues. And they passed away in the hospital. And they were talking to one of their associates and said, "I'm so sorry to hear about that." And the person who had been working with that individual for several days said, it's best that he died. Because the last 3 days of his life, he thought he was on fire and was extremely uncontrollable. I don't say that to scare you. I say that to tell you the truth. If you die today without Jesus, you're going to go into hell. And you will burn forever and ever. There'll be no second chance. Your only hope is Jesus Christ. He gave his life a sacrifice for your sin. All you have to do is be willing to humble yourself before him, repent of your sin, tell him you're sorry for your sin, and ask him to come into your heart and save you and change you. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's your only hope today. And without Christ, you have no hope. What a great thing it would be if today, on this Memorial Day weekend, you came to know Jesus and were really set free forever. Without the sacrifice of the soldiers who gave their life for our freedoms, we who live in the United States of America would have no freedoms. In a more important light, had the Lord Jesus Christ not come to the earth and laid down his life as a sacrifice for sin, we would be destined for an eternity in the lake of fire. Because there were men and women who willingly served in the armed forces and even gave their life for America's freedom, we still enjoy freedom today. Because Christ's marvelous sacrifice for sin of the world, we can be delivered from the penalty, power, and one day the presence of sin. This is a wonderful day to remember the sacrifice of our military, but more importantly, the sacrifice of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you know every heart. You know every need. I pray that everyone here today does know you as Savior. If they're old enough to understand, I pray they've come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. But God, if there's some here today that do not, and they're just being stubborn, they know what they need to do, but they're not going to do it, I pray that you will humble them. I pray that you will give them an encounter like Paul had, and you'll get their attention. And you'll cause them to see that without Christ, they're going to go to hell. Make it real for them, Lord, so they will come to Christ and be saved. I pray you'll do a good work, and we'll thank you for what you do, because we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.